Aren't you thankful that we're never too gone? I think sometimes I believe I was pretty close to being too far gone. By God's marvelous grace, got your Bibles. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18, for our thoughts. Luke, chapter 18. When you get there, stand with me, please. Luke, chapter 18. Beginning in verse 9, the Word of God declares, "And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" Verse 13, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Let's pray. Love you and praise you, Lord. I thank you for the time you've given me. I ask that you just bring to my memory those things I've studied. Let me preach with boldness and authority your truths. Speak to our hearts this morning. May your Holy Spirit deal with us, Lord, where there's areas in our life that need to be worked on. Lord, if there's one here amongst us that doesn't know Christ, that's their Savior, we pray that this would be the day that they would receive salvation in Christ before it's too late. We've heard the prayer requests. We ask, Lord, you will be done with each request. And Lord, when the service is over, may you have been glorified, lifted up, and may we all say as we go out the doors, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. But we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please be seated. And while you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 real quick. We'll go back to our text in just a second, but this is going to go with the message. 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 14, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Amen? Now jump over to the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes. Had a Cajun preacher friend of mine, Brother Charles Kennedy. He called Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes. We used to give him a hard time because Cajuns are hard to understand. What'd you say? What did you say? Can you write it down for me? Chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. The very first verse. "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." That's some pretty good wisdom there. Amen. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning of how to come to church. Now, you and I have the privilege this morning and the honor of being able to drive here to the house of God. And we had the privilege and honor of coming to the Lord's church. And I just want to ask, though, before you came this morning, did you prepare? You say, well, I took a shower. Praise God. I put on my right guard. Praise God. But that's not the preparation I'm talking about. The preparation I'm talking about this morning is, have you prayed for this service today? Have you prayed for your pastor? Have you prayed that if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that God, through His Holy Spirit, would convict and convince them of that need so they would be saved? You see, we have to prepare before we come to God's house. A lot of times, let's be honest, we don't give it a second thought. It's Sunday morning. I got to take a shower, get my clothes on, and I got to get up to the church. But we don't spend no time in praying for the services. Anybody ever been guilty of that? Sure you have. So have I. There is a right way and a wrong way to come to the house of God. Now, Jesus is teaching a parable. And in this parable, it tells us that the reason He taught this was there were some folks that thought pretty highly of themselves. Thought they were better than others. And I'll go ahead and say it. We got people in God's house today that have that same attitude. Amen? And if the phone's not ringing, you don't have to answer it. But if it's ringing, answer it. Answer it. The Bible says there was two men that came to the house of God. Now, one was a Pharisee. Now, they were highly respected in the Lord today because they were supposedly the most religious people that walked the face of the earth. I mean, they dressed and they taught and they walked and they wanted everybody to know that they were men of God. But the problem with that was they were hypocrites. They put on an act. Amen? Oh, they were good actors. But their heart wasn't right. And the Lord's calling them on the carpet for it. So, let's pick up and we'll get into the message. Title of the message, I guess if you, there has to be a title, is How to Go to Church. Notice it said, and two men went into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Well, let's talk about that Pharisee for a second. Again, he was the most religious of that day. And I mean, he dressed the part. They were people that would pray. And they'd pray loud. And they'd pray long prayers to impress people. They would wear prayers on their head or on their wrist. They would go to prayer between 2 and 3 times a day. Usually it was the 3rd hour, the 6th hour, and the 9th hour. And they would pray. And when I say pray, it's not like me and you praying today. They use Scripture. The Shema. It's what they would quote. 3 times a day. And they would give tithes and offerings. And usually, and this is a killer Baptist, it wasn't 10%. It was usually 20 or 30%. But they wanted everybody to know how much they were putting in the temple treasury, because they liked the applause and the accolades of men. And this Pharisee did all of these things. And you see, his problem was he wasn't going to the house of God, the temple, to worship God. He was going there to brag on how good he was. You know, there's a lot of people like that in the church today. They have the attitude that they are better than others. I want to tell you something. They're sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. And I'm no better than anybody else. I put my britches on the same way you do. Amen? But some folks have the attitude, well, because they don't act like I do, or they don't know what I do, or they don't do what I do, I'm better. Can I tell you something when it comes to spirituality? Can I tell you something? Believe it or not, some people are more mature than others. But that doesn't mean we're better. Amen? I know a lot of folks that like it. Well, I'm more spiritual. I know more. It's by the grace of God I know what I know. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it wasn't the seminary that taught me anything. It wasn't the Bible college. The Holy Spirit taught me. Now, don't get me wrong. I learned a few things in Bible college. I learned a few things in seminary. But it's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's only going to give you what you can handle. Some of us like to think that, boy, we're just so full of the Holy Spirit. We're just so smart and we're so spiritual. We're so much better than everybody else. No, we're not. No. You see, here's a little secret. God is only ever going to give you what you can handle. He's not going to give you more. Because you know what would happen if He gave you more? You would really think you were something. And you would forget about who gave it to you. You'd take credit for what God does. There's a lot of folks that like to take credit. Now here's this Pharisee, he's in the temple. And he's praying. And what a prayer. Lord, I'm so thankful I'm not like that sorry rat over there. And by the way, he was a publican. He was a tax collector. Understand something. They weren't too well thought of back then. You see, they worked for Rome. Rome would levy three types of taxes when they would take up a province in Israel. There were three taxes. There was the land tax. There was the head tax. And then there was the custom tax. And what they would do is these publicans, Zacchaeus was a chief publican. What he would do is he would contract himself out to Rome. And Rome had a set, this is what you collect. But you can collect whatever it is you want above that. As long as we get what we're supposed to get, everything's fine. And they were despised by the people. Despised and hated. And here's an old publican. And here's this Pharisee looking down upon him and saying, boy, I'm thankful I'm not like him. For one, let me tell you, God, what I do. Let me brag on myself. And this is what he said. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this old publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. God, ain't I something? You ever run into some of those ain't I something Baptists? Oh, my Lord. 33 years I've been around a lot of them. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my preacher brethren. But I'm telling you, they got clicks like everybody else. You go to the ABA, and I mean, they're like banny roosters, strutting their stuff. Younger preachers just following them, you know, trying to get something off of them, a nugget of corn. Sad. It really is. But you see, when he prayed, he wasn't praying to God for others. He was praying, God, I'm something else, ain't I? I'll go ahead and tell you, that prayer didn't get to the ceiling. Amen. It didn't get anywhere. And we're supposed to pray, aren't we? But we're not supposed to pray to be seen. You see, the Pharisees would stand on the corner and they'd throw their arms open wide and they'd start praying loud so everybody, oh, look at how religious he is. Look at how spiritual. But they wanted to be seen. It wasn't about God hearing their prayers. It was about the attention that would come upon them. Same way with fasting. He said he fasted twice a week. Now, you know what they would do? The custom was they would fast all right. But what they would do is they would put on the most wrinkled clothes they had. They would get ash and they'd place it all over their face so it looked like they were gray from fasting. Again, it was all about them. And when they prayed again, they would pray so loud and pray in such a manner that you would think they were preaching. Let me tell you something. We don't need to preach when we pray. Amen? And let me go ahead and say this. When it comes to our prayers, you don't have to be long-winded. You don't have to spend 15 or 20 minutes in a prayer. I got an uncle. I love him to death. He used to be a member here. Uncle Johnny. Uncle Johnny, say the blessing. The food would be cold by the time he was done. Dear Lord, brother, we just got out of church. We didn't need another sermon. You say, Brother John, you shouldn't make... Listen, that's him. I love him, but we learned something. We don't ask Brother Johnny to pray. I'll say the prayer. Amen. At least the food's still warm. But anyways, when it comes to praying, listen, God wants us to pray about our needs. Pray for others, and then shut up. He hears. Amen? He hears. Prayer doesn't have to be long. In fact, there are several prayers that Jesus prayed. They weren't that long. Now, if you want a long one, go to chapter 17 of John. I think that's the longest prayer he ever prayed. But there's a time for that. But when we go to God because of our heart. God lays it on our heart, needs amongst us, and we pray for the needs that He lays upon our heart. And after we pray believing. Right? We pray believing. Now here's a publican. You know what he was. And by the way, the custom of that day was this. They wouldn't allow him to go into the temple with them. He was on the outside of the temple, in the court. They would let him come that far, but nowhere else. Why? Because he's a dirty, rotten publican, according to the Jews. They had no use for him whatsoever because they worked for Rome. By the way, Matthew, he was a tax collector. But Jesus saved him and said, come and follow me. I'll make a fisher of men out of you. And he sure did, didn't he? That goes with her song. Now, here's this publican. And this publican wouldn't so much as even lift his eyes up toward heaven. But he smote upon his breast. And by the way, that's a picture of the condition of his heart. And he prayed, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, he didn't need the Pharisee to tell him he was a sinner. He already knew he was a sinner. He didn't need the Pharisee to judge him. And beloved, I just want to say, we don't have a right to judge anyone. based on who they are, what they do. If you know they're out there in sin, pray for them. They're already condemned. They don't need our condemnation. They're already condemned. You know why? Because they haven't believed on the only begotten Son of God. But we sure do like to keep adding on, don't we? This man wouldn't even look to heaven. Beloved, that's the kind of heart God honors. When we come to the point where we recognize, you know what? When it comes to the glory of God and His goodness and His greatness, and here we are, just sinners. When we have the right mindset about God, then that's genuine worship. Because worship begins with the heart. It's not about the flesh. Can I go ahead and tell you something about the flesh? It can do nothing ever to please God. It will trip you up every time when you get in the flesh. And I know that there are different worships now. You know, whatever happens, just good old worship. Worship today, now, oh no, you got to get a crowd in, you got to have a rock band. And you got to have this, and you got to have that. Can I tell you something? All of that kind of worship, all it does is it lifts up the worshiper. It doesn't worship God. Now, you won't hear that down the street, but it's a fact. God wants us to come before Him broken, and if we need prayer and need forgiveness, He wants us to come with a broken heart and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. And if we're lost, He wants us to trust Christ. You see, this is worth something. You don't have to write this down, but I hope it stays in your mind today. All that you are, all that I am, all will ever become, is because of Jesus Christ, period. Sometimes I think we forget. Listen, I'm what I am today because of Him, not because of who I am or what I've done. It's all Him. And I'll throw this in and charge you. You know what? Anybody that tells you it's Jesus plus works or Jesus plus this, they're lying to you because it's Jesus and only Jesus. You see, the Pharisee, he wasn't there to worship God. He was there to judge and to show to God, just look how good I am. And according to the Word of God, he went to the house with absolutely zero, zilch, nothing. But that old bad publican, that old wretched publican worked for Rome, the Bible says he went home with a lot. That lot was forgiveness and grace. So it pays to be humble. Heard a story of a preacher one time. We were talking about grace and works. There was a lady in his church that said, "Preacher, it takes grace and works for salvation." He goes, "No, ma'am. No. It's, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians 2:8-9. She goes, "No, sir, listen to me." She goes, "It's grace and it's works. Kind of like this. You have a rowboat." She goes, "Now, if you use both oars, one's grace and one is works, you use them both, you can reach the other shore." She goes, "If you only use one, though, you're just going to go around in circles." The preacher looked at her. He says, "Well, there's only one problem with that illustration. And she goes, well, what's that? Nobody goes to heaven in a rowboat. Amen? Nobody goes to heaven in a rowboat. Listen, we are saved by grace through faith, period. Jesus and Jesus only, there's nothing else. If you have placed your faith in Jesus and whatever it is, your work, your church, whatever, your family, listen, you're going to hell. If you're going to be born again, if you are going to go to heaven, you're going to have to trust Him and Him only. And there's so many people that don't get that today. You see, the Pharisee, he didn't recognize what he was before God. See, he thought he was something because he did this and he did that. Folks, that don't get you to heaven. The old publican, be on his breast. That's where the problem is. It's the heart, y'all. And he recognized his condition before God. And what was his prayer? Be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what it takes to worship God. And when we come through those doors, we have to be prepared. And when we come through those doors, we have to be right. If God's going to answer your prayer, you have to be right with Him. A lot of people say, oh no, since I'm saved, I can live any old way I want to. And God, no. Our sin and iniquity has separated us from our God. Understand that. Until we make things right with God, He'll not hear us. I don't know about you, but there's lots of people in my life I need to pray for. And in order for God to hear that prayer, I have to be in the right condition. How about you this morning? Again, when it comes to coming to church, we have to have the right attitude. And we have to come humbly before. And we must never judge because someone doesn't look the way we look, dress the way we dress, act the way we act, or don't know what we think we know. There's so many out there. The reason they don't come to church is for that very reason. They come through those doors and they think that people are judging them. Can I tell you something? As God's people, yes, we're His covenant people. Amen? And Jesus, and I'm thankful for that new covenant, because see, the new covenant is Jesus Christ went to the cross, He died, atoned our sin, redeemed us by His blood, and we have salvation. That's the new covenant. By what? Grace through faith. The old covenant, understand, do you know what the difference between a covenant and a contract is? I'll tell you. A contract, me and Brother Gerald, he says, hey, come over here and build me a fence. All right, well, I'll do it for such and such. And we may not sign a contract, we'll just shake hands because we know each other. And that, by the way, used to your word was your bond, and you could shake hands on something, and that was just how it was. Today, you have to have a contract. But a contract can be broken by any of the parties at any time. Say I didn't show up. Said, no, too difficult, or I don't want to take the time to do it, or Brother Gerald, too cheap to pay me what I should be getting. Too tight. Amen? So we tear the contract up. Well, that's allowed today. But when it comes to a covenant, understand that covenant is forever. Why do I say that? Because the initiator of the covenant, that covenant is good until He dies. Well, let me tell you, the Lord will never die. He is alive, and He When He gives us the covenant, it's forever. And I'm thankful for the covenant of blood. That new covenant. But because of that new covenant, I'm a child of God, and so are you if you've trusted the Savior. You've been washed by the blood. And we are on equal ground because of that new covenant. So I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We're all the same in the eyes of the Lord if we know Him. See, the sad thing was the Pharisee, thought he was the guy, the catch me out. And he didn't see anything wrong with how he was living. He was blind. There's a lot of folks out there that are blind. They don't see who they really are. But God does. Amen? But God does. And when we come through those doors, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, we come to Bible study on Wednesday night. When we come through those doors, we need to remember who we are. And we need to remember that we're here because of Christ and Christ alone. And anyone that comes through those doors, we are to treat them with respect, and we're to treat them the way Christ would expect us to treat them, as a brother or sister in Christ. And don't get me wrong. There's those out there that live ungodly. Brother Bill was telling us a girl he knew led to the Lord that married a woman just the other day. Oh, dear God. That's a sin. But you and I have a responsibility to pray for the sinner. We can hate the sin, but we have to love the sinner. And the only one that's going to change that heart is Christ anyway. Now, I'll go ahead and say this. I might get in trouble. I don't know her heart. I can't judge her heart. But it would appear to me she probably doesn't know the Lord. Is probably a false profession. But I don't know that to be. In fact, only God knows. But I would pray for her salvation. If she is saved, I will say this. I wouldn't want to be in her shoes, because chastening will come if she's truly a born-again believer. God ain't going to let you live in the squire, in the mud pit too long before He whips your tail. Amen? And I guarantee you, when God chastens you, you never have to ask, why are you doing this? You know, because He brings it right here. Amen? Now, again, out of the two men, which one did God hear their prayer and answer? The old sinner, the old publican. Which one did God not hear? Supposedly that highly religious, righteous, self-righteous, by the way, man. He went to the house, like I say, with absolutely nothing. And what's scary is, yes, it's a parable, and there isn't anything else written about these two, because it is a parable, but wouldn't you hate to be in that shape? Come to God's house and not get help? This is a hospital for sick souls. Amen? Jesus didn't come for the righteous. That's right, sister. But He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So the next time we come to church, let's have the right attitude. No self-righteousness. Because again, apart from who we are in Christ, we're nobody. Apart from Christ, we're capable of nothing. But because of Christ, get this. But because of Christ, we are forgiven and we have a home in heaven waiting. And I'm just as assured of heaven as if I'm already there. Not because I did anything, but because of what Jesus did for me and for you. Amen? Let's remember that. Again, you love coming to God's house? I do. Listen, now when I was growing up as a boy, if I could skip church and go hunting, that was all I wanted to do. Sometimes she'd have to chase me with a switch. Or sometimes she'd have to brag. I say brag. What's the word I'm looking for? Pardon me? Bride, thank you. See, Mom knows she would have to bribe me. Hey, I'll let you go and do this if you go to church. Okay. Well, I wasn't saved to begin with. And I didn't have a desire for the things of God. But I can honestly say, since I've been saved, I have a desire. I want to come to church. Me and Lori never question each other. Are we going to church today? No. We know we're going to church. Me and Lori never, are we going to look at the Bible this morning? Are we going to pray today? No, because we desire the things of God. And the greatest desire I have, being able to come into God's house and worship Him. In spirit and in truth. Amen. Remember the woman at the well? What did Jesus say? They that worship God must worship Him in what? Spirit and truth. And that's how we're supposed to come through those doors. Led of the Spirit to hear the truth. Because if you know the truth, it will set you free. If we're in Christ, we are free indeed. If the Son of Man sets you free, you're free indeed. And we're free to come through those doors. Why do we take it for granted? Anybody ever been guilty of that? We take it for granted. There is a lot of places in the world that were once churches, as far as the people, they had a building. But because of their government, they've been shut down and now they're hiding and meeting in homes and in the woods. You reckon they took it for granted? We do. Don't be surprised. One of these days, it could be the same way with us. So while we have the time and the privilege and honor of coming to church, come to church. Come in the right spirit. Walk in truth. And above all, remember who you are. That every time I read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 about the grace of God, it keeps me humbled. It lets me know I'm not the big show. In fact, apart from Christ, I'm nothing. What I have, it's because of Him. And that's why we are to worship Him this morning. Amen? So, I'll just ask you real quick. Who's your foundation on? This church was built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. He's the head of this church. The pastor, not you, Jesus Christ. Is that your foundation? I pray it is. If not, then you're on sinking sand. Faith in Jesus and Him alone will give you salvation and eternal life. But if you place your faith in Jesus plus, it brings damnation. The choice is yours. So how are you coming to church? You see, we're just all old sinners. Some of us are saved. Others aren't. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, you just know. Usually by the fruit that they bear. If a person has no desire for the things of God, even though they claim they're saved and they have no desires whatsoever, makes me wonder. Now, I can't judge their heart because I don't know their heart. Only God does. But we do know them by the fruit that they bear. And Jesus says over there, John, He says, if they were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they are not of us. Remember all them folks that used to be here? Now some left, moved to another state, understandable. But there's still lots of folks on this church row that if they all showed up at one time, yeah, we'd have a full house. But if they were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they are not of us. You say, what are you going to do, preacher? I'm going to pray for them. Pray if they're not saved, they'll get saved. Pray if they are saved and they're backslid, that they'll return to the Lord and to His church. But again, what foundation are you on? Christ or sinking sand? All others, sinking sand. So, who best describes you? Pharisee or the publican? Pharisee or the publican? And believe me, and I'll shut up, believe me when I tell you, there's lots of folks that don't see themselves as a publican. Oh, I'm just as good as you are. I don't probably sin as much as you do. See, that was one of the things that used to trip me up as I was growing up in church, teenager. I'd look around and I'd see some of these people in church and I saw them in places doing things that I didn't think they ought to be doing. And it always tripped me up because I had the same attitude. Well, I'm just as good as them. I might as well not go to church. It must not be nothing to it. Oh, on Sunday they were so pious, dressed in their Sunday best, carried that big old Bible. Hello, brother so-and-so, and this and that. Monday through Friday, live like the devil. And it tripped me up. I could have went to hell. And let me tell you something. The way you live, understand something this morning. People are watching, and the way you live, if you claim to be a Christian, you better be a Christian. Because the way you live could cause someone to go to hell. By God's grace, He got me over that. Because that was the thing that tripped me up all. I'm just as good. I help my neighbor. They need a hand, I'm there. They can depend on me. I have morals. Not good ones, but I have morals. But that's us, huh? But what morals I have today? Not because I'm anything. I'm capable. It's Him. And Him alone.